Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, gang. We are back in the saddle. 8:02 this morning. Corey Curtis with Derek Mason on the Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Peter Laviolette out as the head coach of the Nashville Predators after 248 victories and a trip to the Stanley Cup Finals. It was a great run for Lavi, but that run has come to an end, and shortly we will find out in about 3 hours and 45 minutes who will lead the Nashville Predators for the rest of the way. We have a lot of guesses, but we simply do not know, and we will try to ascertain as to when that will be. Marquise, we have guests lined up to discuss that very situation. We got Robbie Stanley and I think Greg Wyshynski, right?
Yeah, Robbie Stanley is coming at 8:30. 9 o'clock, we will have Greg Wyshynski, and we have moved Chris Mason up to 9:15, so he'll be joining us at 9:15.
So we have plenty of Preds and hockey talk coming your way, and the Preds, of course, play the Boston Bruins tonight right here on 102.5 The Game, 7 o'clock. That would be Pete Weber and Hal Gill on the call on that one. Be very interesting to see how the Predators react, you know, not just with what they say, but with how they play tonight, Mace. Because if there's no urgency tonight, there's never going to be.
No, I think now what happens is, you know, you go in and the first, it's sort of like the first round. You know how companies do it when they are downsizing. They do this first round of layoffs or firings, and they give people packages. And then everybody else is waiting because there's going to be this second round of, you know, people potentially getting fired. So everybody's on notice and everybody's doing their work just a little bit harder because they don't want to be a part of that second round. Well, you know, I think that's what this is. Mm. You've had your first round, and the first round was the head coach and assistant coach, one of the assistant coaches. So that's the first round of firings. Now everybody else is looking around, the players, and they're thinking, like, we need to get this ship back on track. We need to get this ship headed in the right direction. If we don't, then some of us might be a part of this second round of guys being removed from the team, traded away, whatever the case may be, or not signed back. So I think these guys, I would be surprised and disappointed. I'm not saying they got to come out with the win, but I would be surprised and disappointed if this team doesn't come out with the energy that they need to win a hockey game. Now, if they don't win, that's not a bad thing, because things happen within a hockey game or games, period. Sometimes it just doesn't bounce your way. But if this team doesn't come out with that passion or that urgency, then it's like, okay, was it really the head coach or was it the players on the ice? Now we got to start pointing fingers at the guys on the ice if they don't come out, because there should be some reaction, physical reaction on the ice that we see after the head coach is fired. There should be something, you know, because even the bad teams, there's a reaction on the ice or on the field when their coach get fired. Maybe they don't win because they're just not talented enough to win, but they go out there and play hard. Well, there needs to be a reaction from this team.
If the Preds don't make the playoffs, was the move a mistake? Or no. Is this you just had to do it?
No, I don't think it would. I don't think then it would be a mistake. I think this is something you had to do. I think it's better to do it now. I think, again, this is something David was thinking about at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
The way the season ended last year, the last 2 years.
I completely agree with you.
I think this is something that was on his mind at the beginning of the season.
So having said that, and I apologize for interrupting you, but having said that, if he knew before the season this was a possibility, because we both think he did, then he knew before the season who his guy was going to be to replace him.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty sure
whoever
he
tabs today, he knew before the season, this is my guy if I have to make a move.
Yes. I think that's why on the coaching staff, I'm leaning more towards Dan Lambert.
Okay.
Possibly. Now, outside of the organization, there are several different candidates. But now he gets a better opportunity to look at those candidates now and does what they do fit who the Nashville Predators are. I think if you wait it toward the end of the season, then, you know, you don't have you have a shorter amount of time to look for your head coach. I think you do it now, get it over with. Hopefully the team responds in a positive way because of this. But if they don't, now you have you essentially have like 5 months to get your guy. And if you have that long, I'm trusting in Poile to make the right decision like he did when he first hired Laviolette.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in on the firing or who is next for the Nashville Predators as their head coach. You know, Mace mentioned that there are some names out there, guys like John Hines, who used to be the head coach of the New Jersey Devils, Peter DeBoer, Mike Babcock is out there. And that guy's got some skins on the wall. Would he be interested? Would the Preds be interested in bringing in a guy like that? He certainly would be a guy that would command immediate respect in the room.
Because he's a guy that has had some success. It's sort of like the Lobby thing.
Yeah.
Lobby had skins on the wall when he walked in that building.
Yep.
He's led team to Stanley Cup. So guys believed in him when he walked in there. They said, we know for almost certain that he will get us to a point where we are playing for a Stanley Cup. Because that's his track record.
If we do what he says.
Exactly. Yep. That's his track record. Now, his track record also is he has a short shelf life, too. So maybe you should have seen this coming, you know, David or the players. But the next guy they bring in, if it is a Mike Babcock, then he walks in with skins on the wall. I am a proven winner. I know how to take a franchise and win with them. And the guys respect that. They, you know, whether they like the coach, I don't know, but they respect winning. Guys respect winning.
I'm fascinated by who it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated if it's a part-time decision or a full-time decision. Like if it was Mike Babcock, you know, and listen, I haven't heard anything it's going to be Mike Babcock. I just throw out the name because the guy's out there. But, I mean, that would be one where you'd have to sign. I mean, that's you're signing him to be your coach.
Exactly.
He's not coming in on an interim basis.
No.
If you tab an assistant or the guy in Milwaukee, then you can say you're going to finish out the year. We'll see how it goes. So, you know, like I said, it's going to be very interesting to see how it's handled and who it is because, like I've said, you know, I think David Poile would have known this was going to be his guy for a considerable amount of time. And we'll see, because whoever it is, you know, has a limited amount of time to save the season and get this team turned around. Now, the good news is while they're battling down there in last place, they're not what you would call buried in last place. You know, I don't know how many points they are out of the eighth place spot. I'm going to try to look up the standings here in a second. But I know it's not that far. It's nothing that a few wins can't take care of.
So, no, you're absolutely right. This is they're not, you know, completely out of it. You know, the only thing they need to do is get that last spot. That's all they need to do. They don't need to get, you know, they don't need to get in fourth place overall. They don't need to get in third place. They just need that last spot, and they're not that far off from that last spot, so they still have an opportunity.
Well, the St. Louis Blues lead the Central with 59 points. Colorado is second with 54. The Stars have 52. The Jets have 50. The Wild have 46, and the Preds have 45 with the Blackhawks at 44. But the Preds have several games in hand, and if they were to win both of those games, they would be ahead of the Wild, and they would be just 1 point back of the Winnipeg Jets and just 3 points back of the Dallas Stars. So that's why I said it's nothing that a few wins can't take care of in the Central Division. Now, you know, there's some teams out in the Pacific that are also ahead of them as well. The Knights, the Coyotes, the Oilers, the Canucks, the Flames. That's five. So let's see here. That's nine, ten. So they're 11th right now in the West. 11th. But they've got several games in hand.
Well, I mean, yes, they do. And you know, Robbie was doing a show yesterday with me.
And he'll be joining us later today.
He'll be joining us later. And he pointed out, yes, they do have games in hand, but they will end up, because they didn't play, you know, the game, the first half, they didn't play as many, you know, back-to-backs. They didn't play as many games as everybody else did. Well, the second half of the season, they're going to have to play more games, which means they're going to have to get these games in. So they're going to have back-to-backs. They're going to have tougher, you know, tougher games moving forward. So, you know, yes, they have a few games in hand, but the second half gets tougher because now, you know, the rest they were able to get because they didn't have as many, you know, back-to-backs or games and, you know, so many games in so many days. Well, they're going to have that the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, but they can't blame no one but themselves. They put themselves in this hole.
But the good news is if you're playing better, you get to play more games.
Yeah, you're right.
And so I'm guessing that that's kind of the hope at that point that you're playing better and you get things together. So we'll see what happens on the coaching front for the Nashville Predators. There's a lot to figure out. There's a lot to figure out. But Robbie Stanley will be joining us later today along with Chris Mason and Greg Wyshynski from ESPN as we try to figure out the pieces to this Nashville Predator puzzle, because they have been a puzzling team. You know, it's really been amazing because they've been the toast of the town for a few years now, and now you've got the Titans on to round two of the playoffs. Amy Adams Strunk conceivably doing everything right. And the Preds have hit a bump in the road.
I got a question to ask you after the break.
Okay.
And
is it an awesome one?
It's an awesome question.
It's an awesome one. Write it
and
down so you don't forget it.
The Nashville Predators and the success they've had.
I like where you're going, but we'll figure it out. Corey Curtis, Derek Mason, The Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here, I'm here to talk to you about United Structural Service. It's a foundation and repair and waterproofing company that has served the Middle Tennessee area since 1994. They have over 18,000 satisfied, and I mean satisfied, residential customers. It's that time of year, people, where, you know, your brick is cracking, your walls are boring, doors and windows are sticking, and you need someone to come in and rectify that problem. Well, United Structural System can do just that. Here are a few highlights of this company. Their quality is great. Their reputation is stellar. Expertise, they have impeccable integrity, and they have a bunch of selling points. And here are a few of them. Free estimates, they are locally owned. They're not some chain joint running around and really don't care about the service. They just want to get your money. No, they are locally owned, so they will do a wonderful job. That's where the expertise and integrity comes in. Foundation and waterproofing company. Again, they've been serving this area since 1994. More importantly, they are licensed and insured. This is not a franchise. Custom solution to meet homeowners' needs. And their slogan is, we guarantee our best, so call USS. And the way you do that, it's dial these numbers, these digits. And here they are, 615-227-2275. Yeah, 615-227-2275. Or go online, if you don't have your cell phone, and type this in, USSTN.com.
When the Nashville Predators made the Stanley Cup Finals, and remember, this is 2016-2017 now, did you not think that there was going to be a run where this was going to be one of the best teams in the Western Conference for a time to come?
Absolutely.
And they haven't really lived up to that.
No. Is that a Peter Laviolette thing, though? Look, he's the coach. He had to bite it today. So somebody thought it was.
Well, for years I was saying it was Pekka Rinne in the postseason, but maybe a part of that is coaching, too.
8:17 on Tuesday morning, Corey Curtis sitting in for Braden Gall on The Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, alongside Derek Mason. That was the Tim and Sid program talking about the Nashville Predators and the fact that they played for the Stanley Cup. They were an 8 seed last year. I still think that gets lost on some people. But what's crazy is they are a more talented team now than the one that played for the Cup, and they're 11th in the Western Conference. And now searching for their next head coach.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not ideal. This is not what we foreshadowed for this team.
Well, you know, the immediate next season, they won the President's Trophy. And they looked like that Stanley Cup was their platform where they took off from. And it was just what they were talking about, where you thought they were going to have this 5-10 year run of elite NHL status.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Here's the thing that I wanted to ask you, Corey.
Okay.
Because we look back at this team and, you know, we can go back to 2015, I think. Was that Lobby's? What was Lobby's first year? Was it 15?
What
year? Yeah, it might have been 15.
15, 16?
Yeah, 15, 16.
Did they play for the Cup in 16, 17?
Yeah, so his first year, this team got to the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously after that, they, you know, Stanley Cup. And then they win the President's Trophy.
Second round.
You know, but then exit in the second round. So this team has been getting all this hype. And Nashville is just bubbling.
Best sports organization
exactly.
in
it's
the
just
world.
Great. And everybody's yeah. doting. And if you want to, you know, if you want to run an organization, you look at the Nashville Predators
yeah.
and this is how they do it. This is how they galvanize the city
yep.
and make it their own. And they are absolutely right about all of that.
Yep.
All of that is 100% true. But here's the problem sometimes. When you do that, you got to have people that can handle the success.
Yep.
Do you think this team
nope.
was in a position where they had guys that couldn't handle the success that they were having?
Well, that's when we – I remember I brought up a word yeah. earlier, soft.
Yeah.
You got to have that grit. You got to have that sandpaper, and you've got to have it in your leadership core.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you know what one of the biggest losses for this team may have been? When Mike Fisher retired.
Yeah. There's a reason they brought him back.
Yeah. And, you know, it's tough to come back.
Yeah.
It's tough to come back. But when he stepped aside, you know, Mike – was a tough player.
Mm-hmm.
We all know he's a good Christian and really super nice guy. I mean, mm-hmm. he's one of the nicest people I've ever met. I don't play pro hockey because if I played pro hockey, mm-hmm. I would not think he's one of the nicest players I ever met.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tough SOB on the ice. He dropped the gloves, if that's what it took. He was a tough, physical, defensive forward who could score.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think his loss was a big one. In the leadership department, and his loss was a big one in the way that he led on the ice with his style of play.
Yeah, I would totally agree because there's a reason why, and it should have served notice to the guys in the locker room
when they brought him back.
When they brought him back, everybody was excited. Fish is back, but they should have looked at why they brought him back. I don't think anyone really looked at why they brought him back, and that should have been a slap in the face to everybody on that in that locker room.
Because they feel like he can offer us something that we don't have.
Exactly. So it takes one guy to come in here and establish some grit and some toughness.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't happen.
No.
This guy should be able to retire and live his life. But you felt you had to bring him, and then part of it probably Fish wanted to come back too. I know he did.
Because he thought he could win a cup.
Exactly. He thought he would win a cup, and you want to go out with the win, a Stanley Cup, because he doesn't have one. But it should have been a slap in the face. It should have served notice
mm-hmm.
to everybody in that locker room. Think about what you're doing. We had to bring a guy that retired,
mm-hmm.
had to bring him back in the fold because we didn't have that grit and that toughness that we needed. But I don't think the guys look at it that way.
No. Nope.
I think, again, losing P.K. Subban might have been bigger than what people want to lead on.
Well, I mean, look, he is a premier defensive player
exactly.
in this league. But we knew why they made that change,
yeah.
and we were all
on board
with
yeah.
it. And look, they still have a lot of talent in mm-hmm. that defensive core. I mean, Roman Josi is as good as it gets. Matthias Ekholm's very good. Ryan Ellis is a first-round pick. You know, they've got people there. They just got to play better, man.
Yeah.
They got to play harder. They got to play more physical. They got to clear people away from the front of the net. I mean, you can't just let them skate in across the blue line. I mean, there's stuff that's got to get stronger.
This team, for the last few years, whether it's Fisher, whether it's Boyle, they've tried to bring in these guys during the
Who was the other guy from Philadelphia they brought in? What was his name?
Wayne Simmons.
Wayne Simmons.
Tough guy.
They're bringing
right?
in these physical presence. That should tell you.
Yeah. And you know what?
I don't know why it didn't tell you as a team.
If they're in the mix to get in the playoffs this year, guess what they're going to do?
The same thing.
They're going to bring in a tough guy or two because they don't have one.
That should serve notice to the guys that are in that locker room. Again, that should be – that should tell one of these guys, listen, one of us just need to sacrifice.
Well, look, Austin Watson sacrificed his face the other night. When he got in the,
we talked about
when he got in the fight to start the game,
beat up.
And he got tagged.
He's that guy that we said this yesterday. He's that guy that on the playground, he knows he's going to more than likely lose,
but he's going to do it anyway.
He's going to do it anyway.
That's right. You know what I love? Okay, look, I am not a fighting guy in the NHL. Uh-huh. I know some people think it's great. I think it's completely unnecessary. Mm-hmm. I think it's wrong. Mm-hmm. I think there's no other sport.
Yeah.
There's no other sport where it's okay. There's look, punching someone mm-hmm. is a crime.
Yeah,
it's called assault. All right,
and for except some in hockey,
in some reason in hockey, it's part of the game. No, it's not. It's not. We've allowed it to be a part of the game.
I want to keep my teeth. Okay.
Okay. So and look, there's no fighting in the Olympics, and mm-hmm. Olympic hockey is absolutely fabulous. Uh-huh. So we don't have to have hockey. But having said all that, I am a huge fan uh-huh. of the opening face-off fight. when they drop the puck and the gloves come down and they just go, I'm like, that's...
Well, that's what he did this weekend.
That's what I'm saying. That was the opening face-off fight. That was they just looked at each other and they said, are you ready? You ready? Okay, let's go.
That's the bad part. That's kind of like the funny part about it, because it's like the old duel thing. Like, we're going to duel... You're going to walk 10 paces, and we're going to turn around.
And both
gonna,
of them turn around yeah. and go, this is a really bad idea.
Exactly.
Who thought of this? And then one guy, you know, wins the duel, and that guy was not
exactly.
Austin Watson because he got tagged. But look, I mean, Austin's one of the few guys on this team, you know, Colton Sissons, mm-hmm. you know, that can drop the gloves and go at it a little bit. They just, you know, and look, toughness isn't about fighting.
No, it's not.
Toughness is about...
It's a mindset.
It's a personality. It's a purpose. It's a way you play. It's a way you handle your business. And it's also letting people know when they come into your building, they're going to need a few extra ice bags when they get out.
Oh, yeah.
And right now, teams don't think that way.
No.
They think, we're going to walk out of here with 7 goals. I'm going to get 2 breakaways before this thing's over.
Yeah, and that's not a good way to operate.
No. No, it's really not. So whoever comes in, they've got to instill some toughness, mm-hmm. Some responsibility, and some urgency in this hockey team. And they're playing a good team tonight in the Boston Bruins, and we'll see what they can get going. The Preds have to jump 3 spots to get into the postseason. You know, the good news is they've got a couple games in hand, and they've got half the season. They've got plenty of season to right the ship. You know, I think they were at that point where they couldn't wait any longer. And I think, again, I think that's what David Poile will say today. We will hear. 615-737-1025. That's our number if you want to weigh in on the firing of Peter Laviolette or who's next. We're also talking about the Tennessee Titans some and their second-round playoff matchup with the Baltimore Ravens. They are a 10-point underdog. That's a big number, Mace.
Oh, yeah. Huge number.
Does that surprise you?
Yeah, it did. It did surprise me. I was thinking more 6, 7 points, but 10 points.
Because I think it started at 8.
That's basically saying everybody in the world says you're going to lose.
We're going to lose badly.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 points, that's a double-digit line in the NFL is very big. Real quick, I was getting on the elevator at the end of the game, and Robbie Boren, who's mm-hmm. the Titans media guy we've worked with for years, and is a good guy and puts up with me and my snarkiness, so I have to apologize because I immediately got snarky with Robbie in the elevator. I said, hey, Robbie, with that last scramble, Ryan Tannehill has a double-double today. He's in double figures yards passing and running. He didn't say anything. I think if he could have turned around and kneed me in the groin, he would
probably would.
Yeah. I said, but you know what? You're winning, and that's all that matters. And that's absolutely right. They were winning, and that's all that mattered. Because winning is the bottom line. Corey Curtis with Derek Mason. This is The Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. 8:31 in the a.m. on Tuesday. Day one, Nashville PV or PL, post Lavi. PL.
Yeah, PL.
Post Lavi.
Not PSL.
Not PSL.
Public School League, Detroit
you,
Public School
You
League.
Know what this day is at 102.5 The Game?
What's it?
It's day one PR, post Robbie.
Yes.
Because yesterday, Robbie Stanley was sitting in his seat. It's kind of hot. I don't know what happened here, but Robbie joins us now on the phone. Robbie, role reversal Tuesday.
I'm sorry for making your seat very uncomfortable. I apologize.
Robbie, I'm going to start you with this. We had Floyd on earlier, and he said Jared and he were both just shocked that Lavi got fired after getting 3 out of 4 points on the West Coast swing. D. Mace and I are both steadfast, and we're not surprised at all. We're frankly, if we're surprised by anything, that this move didn't come sooner. What camp are you in?
I'm more with you guys. I'm surprised, honestly, that he didn't get fired a couple weeks ago. But, you know, when you take a look at the history of David Poyle and just the way that he's gone about his business, he's very patient when it comes to these matters. He's a guy that likes to wait and see kind of how the whole picture plays out. So for him to make a midseason move, I think, is very uncomfortable for him. It's not something that he typically does. Obviously,
well, we've never seen it.
Yeah, exactly. We've never seen it. So I think he's been a GM for like 38, 39 years, and he's been through 4 coaches. So he's a guy that's very patient with the coaches that he has. But at some point, I mean, look, you have to take a look at this roster and take stock of, you know, we've seen these guys do it before. We've seen the talent that's on this roster. And at some point, if you know, Kyle Turris, Mikael Granlund, you know, Ryan Johansson this year, all these different guys who have traditionally been productive throughout their careers, if they're somehow just all not being productive at the same time, it's really 2 options at that point. Either they forgot how to play hockey all at the same time, or the system is not putting them in a position to succeed. And I think it became pretty obvious the last few weeks that the system the Predators are running, other teams had just figured it out, and it was not maximizing the talent that the Predators have put on this roster. So David Poyle decided that it was time to make the move.
All right, you say system. I think this team's gotten a little soft, and I think there's no urgency. And I think more than system, it's I hate to say effort, I say urgency. I don't think there's any urgency with this hockey team, and I don't think there's any physicality.
Well, that's fair because, you know, you see these disappointing losses come by all the time, and all of a sudden some of the post-game comments, you hear the word wake-up call. Well, this is a wake-up call. And after about 6 or 7 times of hearing the word wake-up call,
yeah,
I know myself thinking, you're sitting there thinking, well, how many times do you need a wake-up call? Like, I know, like, I get it that it's, you know, it's professional athletes, you're in a post-game press conference. A lot of times you have to take what's said in those situations with a grain of salt because, let's be honest, especially after they've lost the game, most of the time they're looking to say what they think they need to say and get out of there. And I totally understand that. But at some point, you got to stop with the wake-up calls and actually wake up at some point. And the Predators have just not been able to do that so far this year. So I still think there's a lot of things systematically that were wrong with this team. But there's no question if this particular move by David Poyle does not serve as a true wake-up call for this group, then I think you need to shift your focus from the coaching staff and trying to figure out what the future is there to, okay, do we have the right makeup of players in this room? Because if this doesn't wake them up, I'm not sure what's going to.
Yeah, you're right about that, Rob. We were talking with Robbie Stanley. We're discussing the Laviolette firing. You know, Corey and I talked about this team, and was this a knee-jerk reaction by David Poyle? David doesn't seem like a guy that makes knee-jerk reactions. I think he's calculated in what he does. That's why he's been a GM for a very long time. I think this was thought about at the end of the season last year. And this has always been on his mind to whether if this team doesn't get it right, we're going to make a coaching change. Do you buy into that this was something that he's been thinking about for a while now?
Yeah, I do. I don't think that David Poyle is a rash guy. I don't think that he makes emotional decisions or gets caught up in the moment or anything like that. I think he's been around too long and has too much experience to do that. So I agree with you, D-Mace. I think he's been thinking about this for a long time. And really, you know, to be honest, for the last 2-3 months, it just seems like this team is like a car spinning its wheels stuck in the mud. It's not really getting anywhere. But it's just kind of there. It's just kind of existing along. And everybody keeps talking about, you know, the games in hand that the Predators have on the rest of the Western Conference. And that's great to have those games in hand.
Got to win them.
Yeah. Those games in hand for them to mean anything. So, and the Predators have not been doing that consistently enough. So at some point, I mean, you just had to break this up, because I think if they would have just stayed pat and kept Peter Laviolette as the coach and just went on status quo, there was nothing that they have shown me so far this year that made me believe that they were going to dig their way out of this. So I'm not saying that now that they've made a move, they're just going to make some magical run in the second half of the season and go win a Stanley Cup or anything like that. But I do think something had to be done. And there is precedent for this in the NHL. Sometimes making a coaching change in the middle of the season gives you that spark. You don't have to look that far back to see that. That happened with the St. Louis Blues last year. It's happened a couple different times with the Pittsburgh Penguins, where they've made coaching changes in the middle of the year and they went on to win the Stanley Cup. Again, I'm not saying that's going to happen with this group, but I think just leaving things as they were was not going to be an option.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Now, another thing with this Predators team, we mentioned physicality. We mentioned this team needing to be gritty and have that presence about them, and it just seems like they didn't have it. I think it should have served notice a few years ago, and Corey and I talked about this, when they chose to bring Mike Fisher back, a guy that had retired. And listen, he wanted to come back because he wanted to win the Stanley Cup. But they chose to bring in a guy with this physical presence, this leadership. They chose to bring him out of retirement to try to infuse some whatever it was in that team that needed it. That right there should have served notice to the guys in the room that, hey, listen, there's something that is missing. They did it during the trade deadline with Boyle and Wayne Simmons bringing in bigger presence.
Toughness.
That should have told the guys in the locker room, we need to do something, because they don't need to continue to look outside the organization, you know, for players. And I don't think they got that point.
I don't think they did either. And look, as part of that to me goes back to the system thing as well, because, you know, Wayne Simmons came in. He's been a pretty productive player throughout his career and didn't really do anything during his time with the Predators. Mikael Granlund came in and has put up 60 points practically every year with the Minnesota Wild, and he hasn't done hardly anything during his time with the Nashville Predators. You can make a similar argument for Kyle Turris as well. So I think it's a combination of those two things. I think you're right. This team needs to be tougher. I think there needs to be more of a different attitude with this group more than anything. I think sometimes, you know, when you kind of read your own press clippings and you've been told how good you are for the last 3 or 4 years and how special of a group you have in Nashville, it's human nature sometimes to just go out there and kind of go through the motions sometimes. And we hear that in their comments after the games of, you know, we were up 3-1 in the game. We just took our foot off the gas. Well, you're not in a position anymore to take your foot off the gas at any point
for the
remainder of this season, though.
And they have no Stanley Cups to point to. I think that's the most disappointing part of, because I think I agree with you, Robbie. I agree with you. I think they've gotten way too happy with their celebrity and the President's Trophy and the appearance in the Stanley Cup. I think that was way too satisfying rather than winning the Stanley Cup for this hockey team. Now, D-Mace brought up what I agree with and what you agree with, and that is, David Poile came into the season knowing that this was a possibility. So if he knew this was a possibility, he also knew who he was going to replace David Poile with. I mean, who he was going to replace Peter Laviolette with. Who is David Poile going to replace Peter Laviolette with?
A lot of the chatter around the league right now points to John Hines, who used to have some ties to some Predators people that he's known throughout the course of the year. He also was the coach of the New Jersey Devils earlier this year. I kind of don't know if I buy into that or not. I agree that I think David Poile probably has a pretty good idea of a list in his head. I think it's going to be a guy with NHL experience. I know a lot of Predators fans have tweeted me asking about Carl Taylor from the Milwaukee Admirals, who's done a great job for the Milwaukee team. I think that Carl Taylor is probably going to be an NHL coach sometime in the future. I don't think it's going to be right now with the Nashville Predators. I think with this group and this locker room and just how veteran of a group it is, you need a guy in there who runs a little bit different of a system and who has some pretty good NHL experience as an NHL head coach. So John Hines could be an option. Peter DeBoer, who it was reported to yesterday, has not had any contact with the Predators. a colleague of mine a couple weeks ago were talking about that. I think he'd be a very good fit for this Nashville Predators team. So not sure who it's going to be. Hopefully we'll find out a little bit more about that this morning at the press conference. But like you said, Corey, I think David Poile is not really a guy that goes into this flying blind. He's got a plan for what he's going
to
do.
Now, having said all this, this is a team that was supposed to contend for the Stanley Cup this year, and I think that goes a long way in determining David Poile's course of action. I think there's still hope for this season. And by saying that, I'm saying you don't bring in an interim coach then. You bring in a new coach.
Oh, I agree. I agree 1,000%. And I think an interim coach, if they were going to bring in an interim coach, I think it would have been announced yesterday. I think that would have been a part of the press.
And you're putting up the white flag on the season at that point. You're saying season over, we're done, we're pointing towards 2020.
Yeah, I think so too. So I don't expect that to be the route that the Predators go. I think they're going to bring in someone from the outside, which they should. Like I said, I've talked about the system issues for a couple weeks right now. I think if you bring somebody within, how much is that system really going to change? I think they need a complete overhaul of their system to maximize the talent that they have. So I fully expect somebody from the outside to come in and take this job.
Now, to end this, Robbie, obviously, Poile has a press conference in a little bit here. Besides naming the potential coach, either if it's an interim basis or we're going to go with this guy for the foreseeable future, what do you want to hear from him, the GM? Do you want to hear the whys, or do you want to hear how he expects his team to move forward?
Well, I want to hear the whys for sure, because I think, you know, at some point there was a disconnect between the players that he brought in and the system that was being run. I'm really interested to talk to Kyle Turris today, because you could tell there was a lot of tension going on between Peter Laviolette and Kyle Turris. I don't know if Turris is going to say anything today, but you can certainly bet that there's going to be a lot of media outside of Kyle Turris's locker.
He's going to do that Mel Gibson
freedom
from Braveheart.
Yeah, he very well might. So I'm very interested to talk to him today, but mainly, I want to see what David Poile is looking for in his next coach. I want to see what specific differences that he wants to bring in terms of the way the Predators play and why the Predators weren't playing that way under Peter Laviolette during the final, you know, 2-3 months of this season.
Here's a weird question, because this is kind of a weird situation to me. Do you think he announces the new head coach today, and that guy coaches tonight? Do you think it's possible he doesn't announce a head coach today? He says he's looking for one. Or do you think it's possible he announces the head coach today and said he'll be joining us in the coming days? This guy's in charge for the next 2 days.
Well, I think all three are possible. I think the most likely solution is that he's announcing that he's still looking for one, and that they're going to have, you know, either Dan Muse or Dan Lambert or somebody coach the team tonight. I don't know for sure that the Predators have nailed down their coach as of yet, but I don't think they're that far away. I don't think they make this move if they don't at least have some idea of who may be interested and who they may be able to get in the short term. So I think all three of those options are possible. I don't know for sure that he's going to name a coach today, and that if he does, that coach will be here to coach against Boston tonight. But I think all three of those options are pretty possible.
All right, Robbie Stanley, thank you for joining us. We appreciate all the time and all the knowledge as these two football guys try to muck our way through the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Nashville Predators coaching search.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate you.
All right, 11:45, David Poile. Going to meet with the masses and going to answer some of those questions officially. But I think Robbie, Derek, gave us a lot of good insight onto what's going to happen in the coaching area. And I think, you know, kind of piecing together that they are going to hire a permanent coach because an interim won't work for this squad. I think that's settling on something very important.
Yeah. So hopefully he gives us enough answers that, you know, satisfy those that want to know the whys and the wins and the who's moving forward.
All right, Pred fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville Live. We will be in Bellevue at Brewhouse 100, located at 8098 Highway 100, and the show starts at 7. This week's guest will be Ida Bjorstad. Ida Bjorstad. That's like one of the greatest hockey names I've ever heard. And Julie Turris of the podcast Off Ice with, oh my gosh, Julie Turris. That's going to be fantastic. I mean, that's going to be fantastic. Julie Turris on the heels of Lavi getting fired?
Oh, man.
I mean, wives are amazing as it is. This is going to be the mother of all
the
shows.
The stars are aligning perfectly.
They've got a podcast, Off Ice with Ida and Julie, and right now I'm saying that is a can't miss. Tomorrow night, Smashville Live is brought to you by Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Yeehaw Brewing Company, and Red Spirits and Wine. This is the Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Corey Curtis, Derek Mason on the best Tuesday of 2020, because I'm here with you, Mace.
Well, thank you, Corey. I appreciate that. The money will be in the bank tomorrow.
Well, that's good, because there's no money coming to you.
Damn it.
Mace came on and did our post-game show with the Titans Saturday night after their victory. We had a post-game live post-game show. Mace was in studio with Kayla and Emily. We really appreciate you coming in. I thought that was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it.
Because, you know, I know it can be frustrating as you're sitting there listening to, you know, Vrabel and Derrick Henry go on, and you're like, I got things to say. When do I get my chance? But I think for Titan fans to hear what those guys have to say and then to get to hear what a Titans legend has to say, I think that was a lot of fun. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, it was. Kayla and Emily, they're fantastic. You know, they made it easy for me.
I make good choices.
Yes, and Kayla always, I've done a show with Kayla several times.
Yeah, Southeastern Stream Live.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's always been, you know, pretty easy. She, you know, it's like she just lobs it up there and allow me to dunk it or just knock it out of the park.
It's a Saturday night and the Titans are playing and you took your time to come into our station. And like I said, you're getting paid nothing.
Yeah.
And you knew that.
Exactly.
And so.
No, I enjoy it, you know, because I get to talk about a team that I played for, that I enjoy watching.
And you're still important to the fan base.
Exactly.
I think that, you know, because like Eddie George and I consider Eddie a good friend. And he doesn't ever say this, but I know his standing is important to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did a lot for this city and this team. You did a lot for this city and this team. Mm-hmm. You should not be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
You should be honored. And people should care what you guys have to say.
Yeah, because I think what happens is when you go on particular shows or whatnot, you try not to be too biased. You try to give it straight down the middle how you see it. I pride myself on, and listen, I love this organization, but I'm going to call it how I see it. And you might not like it, but it's my truth. It's what I see. And, you know, when they were playing bad, I said they were playing bad.
Yeah.
When they playing good and Tannehill's underneath, I'm going to say they playing good.
Exactly.
You know, it is what it is.
And so, even when they're playing good, you can point out some things that
exactly.
They're still doing bad that are getting masked by other things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's something sometimes the fans don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you hate them.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean you're mad at them. Just
absolutely.
Means this is what we do.
I'm pointing out things on a team that I hope gets better.
When does your phone ring to do radio shows in Baltimore this week?
I have one tomorrow, and I have another Friday, I believe.
Now, I already busted on you a little bit, saying you better not do any Raven.
I don't think they're doing any tailgates here.
No.
Now, if the game was here, it probably would be.
But my point is, when they're calling you, are they calling you as a Titan guy or as a Raven guy?
I think they're calling me as a guy
who's been on both sides of the aisle.
In a unique position, I've been in both organizations. And the love for me there in Baltimore is just as it possibly could be here in Nashville.
That all-time leading receiver for both teams.
That the people, you know, the fans there still, the name still resonates there.
Should.
So they don't, and I don't mind. You know, I got friends there that were in the media that I enjoyed. Now, you know, they wrote some tough, you know, articles or asked tough questions, but
what could they possibly have been tough on you about? All you did was come in there and catch 80 and 100 passes every year.
I mean, they've had things to say when we were not quite as good. I was there 6 years, and
man,
we might have had, you know, one or two bad seasons.
How many years were you in Nashville?
Eight. Yeah.
That's a long
so,
time. 14
you know,
years. Wow.
I enjoyed the media coverage. I enjoyed talking to those men and women, just like I enjoyed talking to the men and women here when I was here in Nashville, because they knew I was going to be honest with them. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to get mad at them because they wrote an article. You know, my thing with them was always, if you're going to write about my specific group, the receivers, mm-hmm. you're going to write about the receivers, then talk to me first.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do. Don't write it and then on things that you speculate or you talk to someone else. No,
And let me tell you, as a reporter, mm-hmm. part of the problem is when guys won't talk to us
exactly.
or they don't answer our questions. Mm-hmm. They gloss over it and give us some BS answer mm-hmm. because then all we can do is speculate.
Exactly.
We are asking you for a reason. We need to know. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, it's like with personnel and stuff, when teams won't answer questions about it, you know, when they don't tell you a guy's hurt and he's mm-hmm. hurt and he's not playing, they're not doing him a service.
Exactly.
Because all they allow us to do is speculate. And I hate speculating. I hate it. But unfortunately, we have to do it sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to speculate right now.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us think this is a tough matchup.
You are absolutely 100% right.
So it's a tough matchup for the Titans. Give me three things that they've got to do to win, to pull off the upset.
They have to control the line of scrimmage, first and foremost.
Both sides or
both
one
sides? Okay. Both sides of the line of scrimmage. They got to control. Ryan Tannehill has to show some semblance of a passing game, that he can, you know, throw the ball more than 17 times, if need be. Because
72 yards won't get it done.
And he looked shaky with that. He made two really good throws.
The touchdown.
The touchdown and then
the first down to Ferguson.
The first down, absolutely. Yeah. He made two really good throws. But other than that, he was a ghost in the game. So he has to prove, because Baltimore's going to stack the box.
Mm-hmm.
They are not going to allow you to run against them. Not to say Derrick Henry won't, but they're not going to allow it. So you then have to say, Ryan, here. Can you make those passes that we need you to make, that you made during the season? Can you make them now in the playoffs? So Ryan has to do that. And then thirdly, I think this team, the guys on the defensive side, they need to play big. The guys that play big during the year at times, and I'm pointing to one guy. I'm pointing to Kevin Byard. Because okay. to me, he is no question a top 4 or 5 safety in this league.
Yep.
Free or strong, he's a top 5 safety
in
this league.
And he's got to play the run, and he's got to play Mark Andrews, who's mm-hmm. one of the leading tight ends in the NFL.
This will be the toughest opponent he's faced, I believe, his short career.
For a responsibility aspect.
Exactly, from a responsibility aspect.
Yep.
And he needs to step up and play better, because they're going to ask him to cover Andrews.
Yep.
And he hasn't done a good job this season, at least toward the latter part of the season, at covering those tight ends. So he needs to step his game up, and I expect him to. But he needs more than anybody to step his game up, because he's the leader mm-hmm. of that defense. He's the guy. He's the all-pro guy.
Until a week or two ago, he was the highest-paid safety in NFL history.
So he's the guy.
I don't think he's struggled as much as you have, but I certainly respect your opinion. Mm-hmm. But I do completely agree that he has to play extremely well. And I think Rashawn Evans mm-hmm. has to have a game like he had in New England. I think he's...
Oh, of course.
I mean, they've got to see him. And, you know, we can go over the defense. Mm-hmm. The interior guys have to blow up the inside, but then the outside guys have to contain. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has to be... You talk about playing big.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use a different word. They have to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. They have to be more disciplined on defense in this game than any game they've played this year.
Yeah, because Vrabel talked about it. When you're able to set the edge,
yes,
it's hard for opponents to run. The problem here is that they got some young guys that are going to be on that edge. And, you know, not having Jayon Brown.
Then
you're inserting a rookie guy. He has to play more than anything. He has to play his responsibility.
Yeah,
he can't get caught looking in the backfield.
Don't do too much.
He has to. If it says stay outside,
mm-hmm.
I don't care if they run up the middle 400 yards. You stay outside.
That's exactly right.
Because that's what Vrabel was good at when he played.
Mm-hmm.
If Belichick asked him to stay out, he stayed outside and set the edge. That's just what it was.
Do your job.
Yeah,
it's that simple. All right, we're going to do our job for one more hour. Corey Curtis and Derek Mason on The Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.